I'd like to read some well-known gospel scriptures in the book of Romans. As you know, the Romans book establishes the gospel, mainly for the Christian, but wonderful messages there in it for the sinner that needs to be saved. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 3, please, and starting at verse 10, it says, "There is not a righteous man, not even one. There is not the man that understands. There is not one that seeks after God. All have gone out of the way. They've together become unprofitable. There is not one that practices goodness. There is not so much as one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. Asp's poison is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Swift their feet to shed blood. Ruin and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." And then down at verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood." Then in chapter 4, verse 7, "Blessed they whose lawlessnesses have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed the man to whom the Lord shall not at all reckon sin." Chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith, we have peace towards God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have also access by faith into this favour in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God." Verse 6, "For we, still being without strength, in the due time Christ has died for the ungodly. For scarcely for the just man will one die. For perhaps for the good man some might also dare to die. But God commends his love to us, in that we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us. Much rather, therefore, having been now justified in the power of his blood, we shall be saved by him from wrath." I just feel it's important to start this occasion by the recognition again that within your and my heart, good does not dwell. I hope there's no one listening today who still have that thought in their mind that there's something good in man that will merit their salvation. You know, these scriptures point out that there is absolutely nothing that is going to be taken account of that we could find our place in heaven before God through any merit of our own. Even God says himself, he saw the wickedness of man, how it was great on the earth, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, only evil continually. The Lord himself says, out of the heart come forth evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. Oh, what a condition we find ourselves in. We're in a hopeless condition. Even the Lord says, you remember, that even the thoughts in our mind that are not even turned into actions are as good as the actions. Oh, we're condemned before a holy, righteous God, a God who cannot have sin in his presence. What a God we've got. What a God there is, the one who made the heavens and the earth and everything that's in it. Look around and see the greatness and the majesty of it all. Not what man's done to it, but what God did. That's the God who will not have sin in his presence. Scriptures we've read just point quite distinctly, starting right there. There is not a righteous man, not even one. Oh, I remember talking to a lady in the town one day who I brought this scripture to her, and she could not accept it. I am not a sinner. Understand that those who visit those that are in prison, they've one place to start with, because they all know that they're there because they've done wrong. Yes, they've been caught. Yes, they've been found out. But how they know already that they're a sinner. But you know, there's no difference. The scripture makes it very clear. All have sinned. There's not a righteous man. As I've said in the next part, it said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've come short of that standard that God set that is acceptable to God. And so it tells us that the wages of sin is death. Ah, that's what you and I deserve because of our sins. What a hopeless condition. A judgment, it says, pointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There's not one of us is going to escape. Don't let us think that if we ride along in life and let it pass and seek to do what's good or even hide up what's bad, that it's going to go unjudged. No, it's going to be judged. What a hopeless condition that is then for the sinner in his sins. But then, that wouldn't be good news, as the gospel is good news. Glad tidings, it's good news. And I want to bring before you how God has moved. And these scriptures would bear that out. We sang in our hymn, oh, come to the Saviour, he's calling today. I'd like you to just hear that while I'm speaking, that it might be that you'll hear that God is calling. The Saviour is calling. You've got a Saviour God who's appealing to you today. He knows the condition in which you are, the hopeless condition, and that there's nothing that you can do for yourself. But thank God, he's seen that hopeless condition. He's seen the place that you and I find ourselves in. He has provided the remediation, the remedy, that you and I can be lifted up out of that dunghill and set amongst princes. Oh, I want you to come to the Saviour today. God would point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we read of, in that came into the earth to lay down his life in death. I want you to come to know that person, Jesus himself. Think of the Saviour. He came forth, born of a virgin, something that had never happened before. And he came into this world, the Son of God. Oh, think of that. The one who drew near to men. I was watching a child in the park just the other day, and there was a flock of pigeons, and he was trying to run up to get amongst them. And of course, what do? They flew away. Well, somebody said once before that God knew that the only way to get amongst us, to draw alongside in closeness, was to become a man himself. That child would have had to become a pigeon himself to be at home amongst those. That's the point I'm making. God came in the person of Jesus, amongst men, a man here. How could a man contain so great a God? Yet that's the God we've got to do with. He drew alongside man. He didn't come in the palaces. He came in the house of poverty so that he could reach to all. And he wants to reach to you tonight. The Saviour Jesus is still alongside you. He would sit alongside you today. And he would say, in whatever your condition, that burden of sin that you've got, he'd say, come to me. Come to me, all ye who labour and are burdened, and I will give you rest. What a beautiful scripture, isn't it? As the Lord Jesus would draw alongside, desiring that you might lay your burdens out before him, because There's nothing that you can do about them yourself. And that's very important in the gospel, is recognizing that there's nothing at all that you or I can do to save ourselves. Absolutely nothing. And we need to come before the holy, righteous God, like that man who said, "O God, have mercy on me, the sinner." There's nothing he could do to save himself. He recognized the hopeless condition in which he was in, and he appealed to God for his mercy. I love the fact that that scripture tells us that he went down to his house justified. All that burden lifted, gone altogether. And that's what it is. As you come to Jesus, I want you just to come to him, recognize the condition that you're in, and cry out to him for his mercy. I love that scripture. It says, "He that comes unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Those who come to repent that he is righteous and able to forgive the repenting sinner. Ah, yes, come to Jesus by way of repentance. That's the important thing, to repent of your sins. What does that mean? I always think of those words of David, King David, when he said, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned." He'd sinned against Uriah, he'd sinned against Bathsheba, he'd sinned against all the people around him, but he recognized that he'd sinned against the greatest power of all, God himself. Oh, what a condition he found himself in. But the wonderful thing, I love that message that came from Nathan when he said, "I have put away thy sin." What a relief it must have been to David's heart. And that's what God wants you to know today. As you repent of your sins, just open your heart in the sorrow of all your history. You're never going to remember all your sins. I couldn't remember all mine. He knows them all. But he wants you to come in repentance. And as you come and acknowledge your hopelessness before him and ask him for his mercy, so he will step in and give you forgiveness from your sins and peace in your heart. Take away that burden that would tie you down, and he would give you the peace and joy in believing. Oh, I want you to come to that Saviour. We read those words where it says, "Bless they whose lawlessnesses have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed the man to whom the Lord shall not at all reckon sin." Ah, this is justification, isn't it? Made just as if I'd never sinned. Oh, I love to remember it that way, you know. I stand before God now as a sinner saved by the grace of God through the person of Jesus. And it cost him his life, that Saviour Jesus. Oh, think what man did to him as they cast him out and rejected him and scourged him and cast that crown of thorns on him and mocked him. All the list of things that you'll find that man did in hatred to Jesus. That's what you and I have done in our sinful condition, in our rejection of the Saviour. But thank God, the Saviour is not like you and me, perhaps who once offended, will never forget. He's towards us today in love, seeking your repentance. And he's drawing alongside you again, appealing that you might turn to him. I wonder how many times, have you ever stopped to calculate how many times you've heard the gospel preaching? 500? 1,000? 2,000? More? How many times? How many times did God appeal before I turned and put my trust in him? Far too many. But thank God his appeal kept coming. It kept coming. until I turn to Jesus. If you've turned to Jesus, I'm sure you know something about this too. Thank God for his infinite mercies and his long suffering and his patience with me, that I might find in Jesus the blessed Saviour. He's appealing to you today if you've not trusted in him. He wants to save you. The problem's our side, it's not his. He's towards us in love, desiring our salvation. Oh, just surrender everything to him today. Put away those thoughts of trying to improve things, to be ready to be saved, or maybe the idea that I might come to Jesus in a future day. Come to him now while you can. Whoever can be sure of tomorrow, you can't. You've got today. Now is the well-accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Oh, the appeal in the gospel is urgent that you might come to him, because Jesus is coming back again. And he'll take to be with him those who have believed in him. And if you've trusted in him, you'll go with him too. But if not, you'll be left behind. Oh, what a terrible time that will be if you've missed the opportunity. I've told a story before of a gentleman who used to come along at the preaching. And one day, he turned up to the preaching. The brethren had gone to, there had been a fellowship meeting, had gone to a neighbouring locality for the preaching and for the afternoon meetings. And they'd failed to leave a message to say there wouldn't be a preaching. This gentleman came to the door and there was no preaching. I've missed the opportunity. I didn't put my faith and trust in Jesus in time. What a relief it was to his heart to find that there was still an opportunity. Oh, what an opportunity. He made sure that he didn't leave it any longer, and he put faith and trust in the glorious Saviour. Have you done that? Are you going to do it tonight? Are you going to leave it any longer? Please don't. You haven't another opportunity. Please come to Jesus today. Think of what he's done for you. We read that lovely scripture, didn't we? The one who God commends his love to us, in that we being still sinners, Christ died for us. We being still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us before we ever sinned. That's the case for you and me. He died many years ago, 2,000 years ago. He died so that we sinners might be saved. He died for us. How can he die for me? Well, the Saviour was the only perfect man that ever walked this scene. The only one that God could ever open the heavens and proclaim delight in. What a man, perfection. I can't actually fathom someone who was perfect. But it took a perfect man to be a perfect sacrifice so that you and I could be saved. And Jesus did that. When they came to take him to that cross, it wasn't the swords and the sticks and the binding that took him that way. Jesus went with them. I've often wondered, when the Roman soldiers nailed him to the cross, there was no struggle there. When he was put up on the cross, there was no cursing there. There was no feelings that the lot that he had got was an unfortunate one, like I suppose the malefactors did. He's the one who on the cross could reach out to the malefactor next to him. The one who was doing, who was exhibiting love at every turn. God commends his love to us, and that was demonstrated by Jesus. On that cross, the reason you and I can avoid the judgment for our sins is because in those 3 hours of darkness, God laid on him, the judgment for sin. He laid on him the judgment for my sins. He took them himself. Just think of that. The judgment for sin for those that trust in him was borne by Jesus on that cross on Golgotha's hill. Oh, friend, let that just sink into your heart today, that Jesus died and took upon himself the judgment for sin. And more than that, on the cross then, they came and pierced his side, and out flowed that blood and that water. Much rather, therefore, having been now justified in the power of his blood, we shall be saved by him from wrath. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. I want you to take account of that price too, that he has paid to redeem you and me and bring us back to God. We stand before God, therefore, not on any merit of our own, but on all the worth and merit and love and work that Christ Jesus did on that cross for us. God accepts me in his presence because of Jesus. Ah, what a thing just to lay hold of. My salvation did not depend on me. It depended on the work of Jesus. And he did everything that was required of God that I might be saved. The sacrifice was done. The price was paid. And on that same basis that I've been saved, so can you. So can every man, woman and child in this world today be saved through the work of Jesus. Ah, how wonderful it was then that God could raise such a man from among the dead. And he's alive today, available today. As I said, he would draw alongside you. Oh, if you're still in your sins and you're still trying to work these things out in your mind, just let it go before the Saviour Jesus. Oh, I love the words of that man in Mark 9, you remember, when the Lord had come down from the mountain and the disciples had this case of a man, a son with a demon. And they seemed to have lost the power to heal. And when he comes to Jesus, he says to Jesus, if you can do anything. And the Lord says to him, if thou couldst believe. If thou couldst believe. Why can't you believe in the work of Jesus today and what he's done for you? He wants you to believe. He wants you to trust in him. I love the words of that man. He said, oh, let's get it. What is it? Mark 9. He says there, I believe. He says, crying out with tears. He says, I believe. Help mine unbelief. Do you know when I came to Jesus first, I couldn't believe enough. And these words have always meant a lot to me. Ask the very Saviour that wants you to believe in him to help your unbelief. I want you to come and believe on that Saviour. He wants you to come. Just put your burdens upon him. He would say, trust me, trust me. The work that I've done for you is able to save you. Oh, please come to the Savior today before it is too late. Might you have peace and joy in believing. And might you be one of those ones that it says, bless they whose lawlessnesses have been forgiven, whose sins have been covered. Bless the man to whom the Lord shall not at all reckon sin. Do you know the Christian is one who's known the infinite mercies of God through the work that Jesus has done. What a wonderful way to come back to the glorious Saviour then, in having appreciated what he's done for us, to give him thanks, to give him worship, to give him praise for his wonderful goodness. Ah, dear Christian, come to Jesus and give him the thanks and the praise and the worship that he's due. Oh, if you're still in your sins, please surrender now. He's calling you. He's calling you. Come to me, he would say. May you answer his call and know in your heart the peace and joy in believing and become a saved sinner today. Another believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be joy in heaven over the repenting sinners. Might you be one who brings joy in heaven and to those around you for putting your faith and trust in that glorious Saviour. May God bless you tonight for his name's sake.